a young man who was running a plating bath, and it looked like platinum. Platinum baths are practically transparent. The other guy said, "What are you doing in here? You're not allowed." I said, "Just a minute. Your boss gave me a piece of paper, said I can go anywhere I want." "Oh, that bastard," he says. So I left. I said, "Something's going on here." So I went down to the local library, got the local paper, and I found out that this company had been pouring carbon tetrachloride and plating solutions out the window on the earth, and they had contaminated the wells of about 40 adjacent property owners. And they had been sued, had them put in a water system, and they had been prohibited by the court to any more plating in this place. I didn't tell the guy I was working for about this. Then I went over to see, they got these things from some place up in Hackensack or something. I went up and visited it, and boy, terrible place, plating bath. The guys were eating our lunch while they were smoking cigars, putting ashes in the plating bath. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, I got back and said, "What happens now?" "Well, we send them over to the machine shop and they check them out to be sure they're thick enough." When then there was a kid on a lathe. He put these on a lathe. He checks them out with a gauge. Can't go in, it's too thick. So he puts that particular contact in a lathe and spins it around and he runs a tool against it. Guess what he was doing? He was taking a platinum off that they put on. And he wasn't doing it uniformly. The thing wasn't spinning perfectly. It was wobbling a little bit. So he took it off in one place and exposed the stainless steel underneath. And that was rusty. And that's why the bookkeeper thought the platinum was corroded. So I had to go up and get the guy. I said, "Come on, Don, don't say anything after I show you until we leave. I don't want the kid that's doing this work to be embarrassed, not his fault." Don, he saw it, and he said, walked out the hall, said, "What was wrong with that?" "Well, you didn't notice? He took off quite a bit of the platinum. And some spots have a different color than the platinum. He's taking off, and he's leaving a spot there. That's where it corrodes, the stainless steel." I said, "By the way, I don't want to be involved with you anymore. You're the third guy I run into in a month who's trying to be illegal, who's going to say that I'm the guy who cleared this up for you. I don't want to be involved in any work. Here's my bill, and goodbye." I cut out the business from you. Because I tried to get liability insurance, couldn't buy it. The American Chemical Society was doing this for a while, but they dropped it because it got too expensive.
Mm.
I tried to work on a contract for Georgia Power on batteries. They wanted liability insurance. I didn't have it, so I couldn't take that. And I worked on one for Commonwealth Edison in New York. They had a big power plant to operate their instruments, like they had a big solenoid, switch mm-hmm. that operates when there's an overload mm-hmm. on it. And this battery operates that switch. That switch is on the roof. And it's operated only by a union guy. He wouldn't let me see the damn thing. Would you leave it? And they took his place. Couldn't see the thing I was supposed to. I wanted to take a look at it, open it up. I didn't know what I was going to find. So I looked at the batteries. And they had contracted with a company to run two little wires to every battery, and they were connected with a telephone system to the boss's home at night. That would tell them about every... The battery was a bunch of individual cells hooked together, about as big as this table. And this was a useless kind of thing. They didn't know what the hell the batteries were doing. So I said, "Look, there's only one thing you can do here." Batteries is like the wine business. You have to taste the wine to see if it's any good. All the other tests are worthless. On batteries, testing the potential of one cell doesn't tell you a damn thing. What you have to do is deep discharge these damn things like it's an actual case to see how they behave. measure each one, but as you deep discharge them, not as you trickle charge them. It's ridiculous. And they said, well, how are you going to do it? Well, I said, the thing you do is you set up a battery central office somewhere where you keep these things charging, and you have a bunch of trucks, maybe four or five trucks, depending on how many you need, with batteries on their backs. You run them up to a place that's having trouble, and you run the wires in the windows. They're all on the first floor since they're very heavy. And you disconnect the big cells that are in there and put your cells on a truck on the line. And you operate, and you take these old cells out of there, and you get new cells. You test them before you put them in. Back in battery central. They didn't tell me why they were doing all this, but I found out. They were checking whether the batteries, not whether the batteries, they were checking whether that solenoid was working or not. Once every 3 months, by taking a big cable, about that size, copper cable, with a 2x4 to hold it, over to a steam radiator and make a big arc. That would draw a lot of power, and that thing was supposed to drop out. This solenoid was 8 feet tall, big thing. Oil filled or something. I never saw it because the union guy wouldn't let me in there. He thought I was going to take his job away or something. And that's what they'd been ordered by the courts to hire somebody who knew anything about batteries and solve this problem for them rather than do it by them. They knocked out all of Manhattan from 14th Street down south at 3:30 in the afternoon. I didn't even know about this. And they were very quiet. They finally said to me, would you be willing to go up to Albany as a consultant witness and tell them what you propose here? Because all the other companies we hired had never thought of this thing. I said, that's what we do in the telephone company. We discharge them. In order to find out, you see? Yeah, they made you put them through a test. And if they're too old, maybe you only get half of the capacity, maybe a quarter, or even a less. So I said, well, I tell you, I don't like this idea because I don't like to deal with a bunch of politicians who are talking about technical problems. But I said, if necessary, I'll do it. They never called on me. I said, you tell them who I am, where I came from. And I'm an independent consultant now, no longer with Bell Labs. But that's the way you solve your problem. And I never heard back from them. So either they abandoned it or they're using it. That's the worst part about it, being a consultant. You never hear about that.
Yeah.
To your chickens, you know.
Yes.
Whether you hatch them or not, you know.
Yes.
Well.
Okay.
So here I am in West Palm Beach. It's boring. Tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about getting involved at local universities, but boy, they're politically dominated.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm interested in is the salaries of the teachers and the salary of the chairman of the board. You have a junior college here, by God. The guy's retiring, and he's taking something like $700,000 out. It just came out in the newspaper, another $200,000 that this is all things he arranged while he was chairman of the board.
Right.
It was sick pay, vacation pay. He named two colleges after himself. Oh, I can't believe this. This is the head man who's supposed to be sending. Imagine him running Columbia University.
Oh, dear.
Couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been
well, let me encourage to write you to write your memoirs more extensively.
I'm going to finish it out. I tell you. Another reason that I quit is my memory was going bad on me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things or names that I ought to know, I had difficulty recalling them. I understand that's not unusual. I'm 81 and a half.
Yes, yes.
And
yeah.
I'm still doing my own income tax and things like that.
Well, I wish you'd... I'm delighted to have this on tape.
Everybody says that to me. I sounded off to a vascular surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic because the laser was invented at Bell Laboratories. And when it was invented, I was always on a bet, what can we use this for other than communication? I suggested, since I was in the hospital business, that we try the hospital, maybe they could use it. And, since Alexander Graham Bell was deaf and he was interested in medical problems, we'll continue that tradition. So the only reputable place in the country that responded to our invitation to discuss it was the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. So I went out there, showed me around. I was impressed. They said, well, we'll work with dogs. You supply the lasers. I said, I'll do better than that. I'll put two men in residence, not only to watch what you're doing, but to find out what you're doing so we can profit by it. We're only interested in medicine here. We're not going to try to sell it to the... And we had these two fellows out there for 4 years. They actually quit and took a job at Cleveland Clinic. Great place. And when I found out they have a branch here in Fort Lauderdale on the highway, 40 miles, my wife and I moved here. She had trouble with a gallbladder. Nobody in New Jersey would operate on her because they didn't have the classical symptoms. So I went down to the Cleveland Clinic. They said the same thing. They don't have the classical symptoms. And I said, well, look, let me be a doctor, will you? Why don't you feed her some ice cream, high in fat, diet fat ice cream? Okay, we'll get the girl from, we have a girl who figures out menus to recommend it. She did that. 2 days later, Jenny woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. She says, I think I'm going to die. Terrible pains. Better call the Cleveland Clinic right away. So I called them. I got the guy who was in charge. He was a surgeon from New Jersey, by the way. He says, bring her right down. By the time she got there, she felt a little bit better. And he wanted to keep her overnight. I said, just stabilize her. We'll see what we do tomorrow. Well, the next day, the original surgeon who was reporting to this guy was his boss on that night. He called up. He said, boy, oh boy, that idea of yours worked. He said, but that's classical gallbladder. Bad. He said, my boss was in there. He reamed me out for giving her that ice cream. He said, he could have killed her. I said, here, write a paper on it right away. They'll call it the Sestol test. The guy's name was Sestol. Go down in history, medical history. Geez, he was a little bit taken up about it. I was joking with him. But they took that bladder out, and the problems he had for years disappeared. When they took him out, they said it was like an old boot. It was full of stones, and it was like rubber, you know. That's, well, that's good, the good ice cream good test. Place, yeah. By the way, what is your... what is your exit time here or there?
I think we should be...
you want to have some lunch?
Do you want to just go if it's not an inconvenience?
No, whatever you say.